Christ is our mercy seat, don't you? You know that. But you know the church and Christ are one. As He is, so are we in this world. You can't separate the head from the body. Where He is, that's where they are. Where they are, that's where He is. The church is in that way a mercy seat. It's a place, a calm, a sure retreat where the gospel is heard, a place where the Lord Jesus sheds the oil of gladness on our heads, a place than all beside more sweet. You think of anywhere you would rather be than where God's people are, a blood-bought church, a scene where spirits blend, friend holds fellowship with friend, though sundered far. There's a mercy seat in Fairmont. There's a mercy seat in Kingsport. There's a mercy seat in Madisonville. There's a mercy seat in Danville, the church in Lexington, and on it goes. And this is where we go. This is where we come, where Christ is. Sin and sense seem to stop molesting us here, where Christ is. Like being hedged about, it's a fold, and not giving glory to the church. We're glorifying Him who glorifies the church, who bought the church with His own precious blood. So thankful for His church, the kingdom of God, the body, the family of our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1, go back there. 1 Thessalonians 1. I already prepared this message before I chose the radio message to take to the radio. How many heard the radio program this morning? I know some of you can't pick it up, but if you can, you need to listen to it. It's a wonderful, not only a blessing, but a great way to prepare your heart to worship. And I'd already prepared this message, and I went looking through some of the old CDs, and I found 1 Thessalonians 1. So I thought, we're going to have two witnesses witness this. That's a blessing, a blessed message. Verse 1, that Paul and Silas and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God, in Christ. Church in God. Church in Christ. To the church. The word church, the term, is a blessed term. And I have learned, I hope, to not use that lightly. To not apply it to a building and not apply it to every religious organization. I've since learned that this is a blessed term reserved for God's people. Like families, like a family name, the church. Congregation or gathering. Those who've been congregated, gathered, believers who worship God. They're disciples and lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, which our blessed Redeemer saved with His own precious blood. The church which He purchased with His own blood of God. There was no denomination of the church of old. No denomination. Every single locale, Thessalonica, Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth, Rome, whatever, was simply called the church. Why? Because there were no divisions. There was no difference in doctrine. They all believed in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one faith. All of them. They all see eye to eye. Every one of them in Zion. the church of God. And he says from Paul, this is from Paul, this is God's word. God had Paul write this. This is a blessed, look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, and never quit thanking the Lord and ceasing to be amazed by the fact of the grace of God that when you received the word of God, you heard of us. You received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God." I believe what Paul, that man, wrote right here is the word of God, infallible, without error. The word of God. Don't you? Every one of them, every word. Don't you? Do you know how few people believe that today? You know how few people believe that this book is just is the word of God. Most people believe this is just a book of Jewish fables. They don't believe it at all. They don't believe the account of creation. They don't believe the story of the fall. They don't believe, they just don't believe it. They believe the words of Paul are just the words of a man. You can take them or leave them. What about you? If you believe this is God's word, this letter right here, not the words of a man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, you're one of the elect of God. That's one of the ways you know. Oh my, and Silas and Timothy. You see that? Paul and Silas and Timothy. Paul was an apostle. The apostles were gifted men. They were chosen men. They were extraordinary men. They really were. They were just men. Sinful men. Yet God endowed them with power that had never given men before or since. That their words, what they wrote, was the word of God. No argument to be believed. God's word. Their works raised the dead. Raised the dead. Not only the preaching, but they actually laid hands on people. Conferred the Holy Spirit. I don't understand that, but it's so. I do know that there are no more apostles. Paul, an exceptional, a gifted man, a special man. But yet, here it says Silas and Timothy. Who were Silas and Timothy? They weren't apostles. Their words weren't infallible. Mm-mm. They never wrote any epistles. But they were faithful preachers. I started to say just preachers. Well, if they're preachers sent by God, they're a gift, aren't they? A great gift. Paul and Silas and Timothy. See, these three men went everywhere preaching, and they agreed eye to eye, heart to heart, mind to mind, hand in hand. They believed. And, you know, this is God's word, yet Marvin and I, we believe it all. This is exactly what we preach. You're going to hear from Marvin, you're going to hear what Paul wrote, rather what God wrote. You're going to hear from me, hopefully you're going to hear what Paul wrote, what God wrote. We believe the same. Todd and I are in total agreement. And on it goes. His preacher. Paul and Silas and Timothy. Men sent by God, all taught of God, and they all see eye to eye. They know the truth. And they convey it. And he writes to the church. This is all to the church, to the believers, God's people. It's not to the world. False preachers apply all this to everybody. That's what false preachers do. This is to the church. This is to believers. This is to God's elect. That's who this is for. This is a love letter from God to His people. Oh my, what a letter it is. The church in God and in Christ. Now, that's what caught my eye when I read this just for my own enjoyment. The church in God. As many times as we've looked at this, that still just really struck me. The church. The people of God that are in God. In Christ. That's salvation. It's to be in His love. In His love. If somebody is in love with you and you're in love with them, you're in their love. They're in your love. Oh, depending on who it is, you're blessed, aren't you? If you're loved by God, you will never cease to be loved by God. If God loves you, a new world is yours. It's all yours. All things are yours. And nothing and no one can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're in His love, in His heart, in His mind, God says of His people, I know my thoughts towards you. Always on His mind. Always in His heart. Is that not the way it is with someone you love? You're married to, or your children, or your parents, or whoever it is, your blood, some relations you're in. You think about that person all the time. Well, we're humans, you know, we think on other things. But God, we're always in His mind, in His heart, on His thoughts. David said, such thoughts are too wonderful for me. Thy thoughts toward me, he said, I just can't get my mind around that. That He would think on me, what is man that He's mindful of him? Let alone be thinking about us all day long. In His love, in His heart, in His mind, in His covenant of redemption. God made a covenant before the world began. And He's writing names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wrote Stan Anderson. Who? Does that thrill you? I know one fellow that thrill's thinking about. The whole world thinks they ought to be included. All of God's people think they can't believe that He would include them. In the covenant of redemption, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, for whom He did foreknow, set His mind on, His love on, His heart on, His thoughts on, put them in the Lamb's Book of Life, and nobody's going to take you out. Gave them to Christ, the surety of that covenant. His blessed Son, the Savior, the Redeemer, the captain of their salvation. They're in captivity. I wanted to get through every verse here. Oh, my, they're in captivity, and God sent Christ, go down and rescue them. Go down and get Rahab out. I'm destroying Jericho. Get her out. Tie that scarlet light in her window. Bring her out, because I love her. She's a harlot. I love her. See what it means to be in God, in Christ, and you don't put yourself in Him. Of God are you in Christ, who's made unto us all things, chosen in Him, accepted in the Beloved, redeemed in Him, to the church in God. See that? And He says to the church in God, in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. He's not only the Father, He's our Father. And Christ said that. He said, you pray. Lord, teach us to pray. He said, okay. You trust me. You love me. You believe me. I'm all your salvation, Christ said. Okay. Pray, our Father. He's my Father. And He's your Father. Now you call Him Father. And He hears you. Every time. He's your Father. And all grace. He's the God of all grace. And all grace is yours. All grace. Grace be unto you. Every gift. Whatever you need. It's a gift. It's all of grace. The God of all grace. And every good and perfect gift will come down to you. He's promised. Grace unto you. electing grace chose you, redeeming grace bought you, saving grace, providing grace, preserving grace, keeping grace. You don't keep yourself. Kept by the power of God, the grace of God. Restraining grace, teaching grace, leading grace, growing grace, grace unto you, peace, peace. Folks, this earth and these heavens are reserved for fire. And the more I see it and hear it, the more I'm certain that it's going to fall soon. You cannot look around you and not see how utterly corrupt the whole earth has become, as in the days of Noah. Oh my. And God has said this. This is not fable. It's not fiction. Reserved unto fire the day of judgment. God is angry. But peace unto you. There's no wrath for you. There's no judgment for you. There's no anger. God is not angry with you if you're in Christ. My, my. Who makes us to differ? Amen. What makes us to differ? The grace of God. The Word of God. The Christ of God. Peace. Peace. Peace with God. How? How? Blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Peace of heart. Peace of mind. I'll just be honest with you. Every time I turn on the TV or turn on the computer and I look at what's going on, it troubles me. It vexes me. And it's starting to make me like Jeremiah. What they're saying about our Lord. And what it's doing to our children. And the nation that we live in. It is not one nation under God. It's an untoward generation. And people are perishing, and our children are going to perish in it. Unless God does something. And this is how He does it. Luke, thank God for the gospel and those who preached it. Because this is the power of God unto salvation. This is what God uses. And we're in the latter harvest. There's very little truth to be heard, to be found. The churches are little small places like this. Laughing stock of this world. Oh, thanks be unto God. We have peace. God is not angry with us. That's what He says in verse 3. We give thanks to God. Verse 2. We give thanks to God. Forgive me. You know how I don't like emotion up here. How could you not hear this? Or hear this without emotion? Huh? We give thanks to God always for you all. Making mention of you in our prayer. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift for Christ. Thanks be unto God for His church, His people. Thanks be unto God. We give thanks to God always. He said that in we read it in chapter 2, verse 13. He said, for this cause always we also thank we God without ceasing. Chapter 2 of the next letter, he says, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. This is what the church meets to do. The church meets to give thanks to God. Church worships God. The church is thankful to God. The church meets together to praise the name of our God. He well deserves it, doesn't he? He's worthy of it. Thanks be unto God for everything, all things, chief of which is His Son, the Son of His love, the gospel of His Son. Thanks be unto Him. I give thanks that I give thanks. Don't you? There was a time when I did not give thanks. I didn't know I was the one whom I should be giving thanks to. But now here I am giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for making me know that I need to give thanks. If you weren't in Him, you wouldn't. If you weren't in Christ, you wouldn't be in here. Goes without saying that if you're in God, in Christ, you'll be in His church. Doing what? Giving thanks. When I was really young, didn't know the Lord, didn't know Christ, I was forced to go. I wanted out. Go out in the world. Oh, blessed be God. But God, who's rich in love, for His great love wherewith He loved me, even when I was dead in sins, quickened me. Oh, it's by grace that I'm saved. Brought me to His Son. Brought me into the fold to give thanks. And now I'm here by God's choice and mine. Made me willing. I'm here because I want to be. And I wouldn't want to be if He hadn't chosen. Thanks, God. Thank the Lord. We never thank people for coming to church. False preachers will do that. Because they're hirelings. They're men pleasers. God's people, God's preacher always thanks God, always. For you all, I like that. For every one of you. The body. For the little toe as well as the big mouth. Oh, every member of the body. For you all. I thank God for you all. For you all. Each and every member of His body. Loved by God, loved by Christ, and loved by me. Different as we may be, I can say it from my heart. I love you all. I do. Thank God. And then Paul commends the church in verse 3. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's in the sight of God and our Father. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor and love. Is that's what Scripture says. Someone argues, you shouldn't praise men. You should never praise and commend men for anything. That's not right. That's not true. We first and foremost thank our God. Yes, we do. Bound to give thanks always to God for you all. It is God that worketh in us, both the will and do of His good pleasure. He's the one that deserves the praise, okay? But whenever God does a work in someone, He does works through them. Those He works in, He works through. Those He makes His servants, they serve others. And whatever service we receive at the hands of one of God's people, whether it just, whatever it be, a cup of water, God said, we'll receive a disciple's reward. Just a cup of cold water will receive a disciple's reward. Everything. Our Lord commends His people. Though He's the one that did the work in them, He says to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I remember this when my daughter was very young, and now in my granddaughters, but I taught them everything, her everything, and gave her everything, and I would teach her to do things. And she would do these things, and I'd be right there, hands-on, showing her how to do it, and she'd be doing it. And she'd mess up, you know. But I'd commend her. That's just what you do, isn't it? Good job, honey. And I, you know, and then she'd leave, and I'd have to do it over again. But I'd commend her. I'm encouraging her. And obedience and service and anything like that needs to be commended then. It does. It's not bragging. It's just commendation. That's what the Lord does. The Lord said to do this. Render honor to whom honor is due. Tribute to whom tribute is due. If someone renders you a service, you thank them for it. You acknowledge them for it. Spurgeon used to say, the worst thing you can call someone is ungrateful. It's ungrateful not to thank someone for something, whatever it may be. It's ungodly not to. A cup of water, anything. He says, I remember, remembering without ceasing, remembering in prayer and remembering my own heart and mind, your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope. Your work of faith. That's what Brother Mahan preached on this morning. Work of faith. Faith works. Faith without works is dead. Faith works. Faith is something that God works in us. It's a work of God. And whatever He works in us will come out of us. Work of faith. Faith is love. Faith is love. Love to God. Love to Christ. Love to His people. Isn't it? Love to His Word. Love to His truth. Faith is love. Love for Him. Labor of love. Faith which worketh by love. The law says this is what you must do. This is what you ought to do. Okay? Grace, or true saving faith, a work in a person, grace says, what can I do? Law says this is what you must give. Grace says, can I do more? We were going to give somebody that came and preached here some money, and I told Max to give him this and this amount, and he called me a little while later and said, do you mind if I give a little more? Mine? Oh my, that's grace, isn't it? Grace. Faith which worketh by love, your work of faith, your labor of love. And we heard this of Lydia. You remember Lydia? The Lord worked in, opened Lydia's heart. The Lord did a work in Lydia. A work of faith, a work of love, work of the gospel in her heart. The Lord opened her heart. So what did Lydia do? Open her home. She opened her home. She realized now that everything she had was given to her of the Lord. And she thought, I freely received and I'm going to freely give. And every time Paul and Silas and Timothy or whoever came through, every time she heard the gospel from Paul, and every time Paul came through that town, she said, oh, would you please stay with me? Yes, sir. He stayed there often. Like Martha and Mary and Lazarus, our Lord was there. Faith which worketh by love. The works we perform are in service to our Lord, but He's in heaven. What can we do for Him? He doesn't need anything. But His body does. His people do. And this labor of love to Him and to His people and service toward them. Oh, Paul said we remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. What of all the sacrifice that people have made for you and I to sit here in comfort and read this word and in safety and what of all the blood that's been shed so that we can have this book, so that we can sit here without fear? Don't we owe a debt of remembrance to these people? I keep bringing up Martin Luther and others because I love that man. I'm so thankful that he endured such hardships. Paul and all of them. I'm so thankful. And if they were here, I'd tell them, thank you, sir. Thank you. I am standing here today because that man right there was a faithful preacher of the gospel. For years, Tammy, you too, right? Mindy? Anybody else? Well, we've all been an indirect recipient of that. Oh, thanks be unto God. I thank you for that work of faith and labor of love. Thank you, Pastor. We're going to realize someday what gifts our Lord gave to us. When He ascended on high, led captivity captive, He gave gifts unto men and women. Undeserving people, He gave gifts. He gave men, real men, in a world full of hirelings, evil men, seducers that wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But He gave us a true preacher of the gospel. There are people right now sitting under phonies and fakes who are out for their money. They don't care about them, don't care about themselves. Wolves in sheep's clothing, aren't there? Thousands, yea, millions under those people. Who makes such a difference? Thanks be unto God for this gift. And I thank the men who He raised up. That work of faith. And you. Each one of you. For all of you. All of you. Thanks to everyone for everything that you do. The work of the ministry. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. He said to the Corinthians. Paul couldn't have preached if Priscilla and Aquila hadn't kept him in their home and fed him. Unless they had supported him, he couldn't have stayed there. Good. And he commended them. He said, I commend unto you Aquila and Priscilla. They laid down their lives for me. They stuck out their neck for me. And 16 names he named in Romans 16. People that he commended. He said, you need to thank these people for what they did. And I do. I thank you, everyone in here. Too many names to name, but I thank you for the work of the music that you perform for us. It's a labor of love, isn't it? It's tough, people. Anybody want to play the piano Wednesday night? Anybody? Got any volunteer? If you volunteer, raise your hand. No takers? Well, we have some ladies that do it willingly. Aren't you thankful? I thank you for the music. The work in the CDs and the tapes. All that you do, sending those out. There's some people. There's an old lady, 80-some years old, down in Texas, Georgia Gibbs, that receives these CDs, and she keeps writing for more. She just can't get enough. I know we're not the only ones she gets them from. But thank you for sending that. She thanks you. She's very, very thankful. Treasury. Working the treasury. Anybody want that job? Can you balance your checkbook? What about everybody else's? You want the job? When's the last time you thanked these people? It's been too long for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you. We've had the Swords, the Andersons, now Mac, the Treasury, and the Ogle, Dan. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I'm going to. I'm sorry. But you don't want credit for it. You really don't take any credit for it. Housing people. We have people come through, and many of you put them in your houses. Thank you. Thank you. I was a recipient of that for years. I stayed in the house of Obed Anderson. Anderson Edom. The Lord's blessed the house of Anderson, but the gospel said. The house of Barry, the house of Davis, the house of various ones, Parks and Fannins, and on it goes. Mayhem, the Lord blessed houses. Opened their houses. Cleaning, those that clean this building. Believe me, you don't want to be here if somebody doesn't clean it. Thank you. From the snow removal to the carpet sweeping to the opening the door and closing the door. I'll just be honest with you. When I get it, sometimes I come over here real early and open it. But there are times when I come and it's already been opened and the heat turned up. And thank you. Somebody did that. And I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I'm ready to go home. And somebody closes up. Where's Kevin? Somebody closes up, turn the lights out. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Remembering without ceasing. Your work of faith, labor of love, and it is. Love to our Lord. Patience of hope in our Lord. He's not commending anybody for their patience. That's of God, isn't it? We don't have any patience. It's God that gives us patience. But how does He give us patience? Trial of our faith worketh patience. Wait, submit, bow, patient. Experience hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, a good hope. We got a good hope, don't we? A sure hope through grace. We got a good hope because we've got a surety. And all who do, listen to this, all who are in God, all who are in Christ, all who receive the grace of God and the peace of God and perform works of faith and labors of love and hoping in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in the sight of God. God sees this. All in the sight of God. And that means you're one of the elect. These mean that you're one of the elect. Verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I know you're one of the elect for these reasons. I know you're in the Lamb's Book of Life for these reasons. Now, we can't open the book, can we? We can't. We can't see our names in that actual book, can we? Well, didn't John say? And we know we've passed from death unto life. If. Didn't? Hereby we may know. Didn't he say that? And here, Paul said, knowing, brethren, your election of God. Now, I'm interested. How do you know if you're one of God's elect? How do you know? Can you know? Knowing, brethren, your election of God. All right, stop right there. When I read... election. What went through your mind? Your heart. When I read from God's Word, it talks about election. What did it do to you? In your mind, in your heart. I don't think there's a person in here who got mad. I hope not. I don't think there's a person in here, I'm looking around, who did not like that. Don't talk about that. This is where you start. This is how it all started. Election is not salvation. It's not believing the doctrine per se. But this is where it started. This is where salvation started. God from the beginning chose you. God elects according to the foreknowledge of God. Before the world began, God chose a people. Elected a people. Before the world began, He chose and elected a certain number of persons to save them. What do you think about that? If that fills your heart and your mind and your soul with love and gratitude and wonder and joy and rejoicing, huh? Knowing, brethren, your election of God. Who believes election? The elect do. Who loves that God chose a people? The elect do. Only the elect do. When you stand up, a man stands up and said, God elected a people. And out there will be two fellows, and one of them says, I hate that. And the other fellow says, I love that. Who's the elect? That's not an infallible proof, mind you. Some do love the doctrine, but that's where you start. This is what we heard, Brother Henry, wasn't it? This is the gospel we first heard, all of us. I heard it from when I was born. I never knew any other gospel, at least in my head. But when you were in false religion, they hated this, didn't they? They hated this. You hated it, Roberta, didn't you? You hated it. Don't talk. I don't believe that. But God, one day, said Roberta, I elected you to thank me for electing you. To bow to the truth that I am God. That's what makes God. That's the difference between our God and their God. The God who is God and the God who wants to be God. The God they must let God be God. Our God chooses whom He will because He will. And none can stay His hand or say you can't do that. What do you say to these things? The elect love it. Love Him, rather, who chose us. Elect. That's our gospel, you see. That's where our gospel differs from their gospel. Our gospel, elect. This is the love of the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's throughout God's Word. God chose a people. It's the truth. Do you love the truth? Praise God for His elective, sovereign electing grace. If He hadn't chosen me, I would have never chosen Him. Praise God for revealing to me the truth. If He hadn't revealed it to me, I'd have never figured it out. Praise God for giving me a love for the truth. If He hadn't, I would never have ceased to hate it. Praise God. Election is a person. Election is in a person. You see, you know who God's elect is? It's Jesus Christ. That's where it all started, in Jesus Christ. God said, I love my Son so much. He's mine elect, my servant in whom I delight. And so God said, I'm going to make a world, I'm going to make a universe to the praise and the glory of my only begotten, well-beloved Son. It's all for Him, His glory. I'm going to hang a sun in the sky to show His glory. A moon to put under His feet. An earth for Him to walk on. My Son, my beloved Son. Hear Him. Hear what God says about His Son. He said, I've chosen Him. I loved Him. I set Him forth as my all and in all. Now, I'm going to choose a people and give them to Him and put them in Him and make Him their covenant head, make Him their surety, and make Him their redeemer, make Him their righteousness, their wisdom, their sanctification, their holiness, their everything. I'm going to make Him their Messiah, their mediator, their high priest, their lamb, their everything. It's all wrapped up in Him. What do you think about that? Mine elect, my person. This is He. God said, I'm not pleased with anybody or anything but Him. But if you're in Him, you're accepted. What do you think about that? Rather, Him. God said, now I'm going to... God put all of His everything in one person. Mine elect. See, we're chosen in Him. Loved in Him. Found in Him. Accepted in Him. The election's a person. Person. That's our gospel. Our gospel. If you're one of the elect, you love His truth, His gospel. You love God being God. You love Christ being all. You love salvation by grace. You love whatever God says. You love it. You love it. Our gospel. Not their gospel. Not another gospel. You hear it. That's about all you hear out there. Our gospel. Because God gave it to us. Entrusted me with this gospel. What a blessed trust. A pearl of great price. A treasure. God forbid, woe is unto me if I preach not this gospel. Woe is me, Ty, if I don't stand up here and preach Christ. God demands it. Sinners need it. The church rejoices in it. Oh, We don't come here to acknowledge man. We come here to acknowledge our God. We don't come here to thank man for doing something for God. We thank God for doing everything for us. Christ, our gospel, came unto you, and I got to quit. It came unto you not in word only. There's a time when all you hear are words. There's a time when all you hear is a sermon. There's a time when all you see are words on paper, words out of the mouth of a man, a sermon. But if it's in God's good time, if you're one of His elect, in the fullness of time, power. It's God speaking, not a man. It's not words on paper. It's a sword in your heart. A hammer on your hard head. A fire in your bosom. Did not our hearts burn within us? You're lukewarm or you're dead, and then all of a sudden God sends the fire. Not this, you know, not this wildfire, all stuff's going on, but the Word of God, the Gospel of God, the grace of God, the Christ of God, power, oh, life-giving power, life-changing power, heart-breaking power, ear-opening power, eye-opening power, mouth-shutting power. I love seeing it happen. And that's what it takes. We'll take God's power, God's gospel. Did me such good to listen to this young man read those scriptures and pray from his heart. You remind me of myself. You're me. We're blood anyway. Ken. And I'm sure I remind my dad of himself. And on it goes. It took the same power to save an Arminian, dyed-in-the-wool Arminian Southern Baptist preacher of 24 years old. An evangelist named Rolf Barner came in one day with a gospel of God's sovereign electing grace and slew a young man, a young preacher. Wiped out everything he knew. Destroyed everything he used to preach and gave him the truth. And he started preaching it. Well, here this prodigal son sat under his preacher, sat under it. Now, when I get age, I'm heading out. And I did. Robin, I can't preach without saying, but God. I just can't do it. But God. Slew me. That same gospel. Luke, that's your story. One day. Doesn't matter who it was, where it was, same gospel, same power. Power. The Holy Ghost, who takes the things of Christ and shows them unto you. Who gives regenerating grace or a new creature, who opens your understanding and puts fruit, repentance, faith, love, hope, joy, yes, and much assurance. I mean this when I say this. I have full assurance. I have full assurance. I have no assurance in myself. I have nothing in me to give me any comfort or hope at all that I'm a child of God. Now, I mean that. About the time I think I've made some progress, one step forward, you know, two steps back. Assurance is being sure of who God is. Assurance is being sure of that you're a sinner. Here's assurance now. This is one thing I am sure of. I'm a sinner. I mean, I'm a bona fide sinner. In my flesh dwells no good thing. And I can't do anything good. Can't even think a good thought. I know that. And this I'm sure of. I'm just sure of that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. But this is my hope. This is the gospel. I have full assurance that salvation is by grace. 100% by grace. And it's in Jesus Christ. Okay? That's assurance, people. Well, how do you know? But if, how do you know if you're in Him? I don't know. I don't have assurance that I'm in Him. Hold on now. Do you believe God's God? Do you believe you're nothing? Do you believe Christ is your only hope? Then what else is there? I didn't say look in, see if you can find some reason to believe that you're in Him. I said look to Him. Nobody's ever looked to Him and been left cast out. Your assurance is in a person. And I wanted to bring this out here too because something happened recently. It goes on to say, you became followers of us, received the word, much affliction, joy of the Holy Ghost, became examples, words sounded out, and you're spoken of throughout the world, and you are. John Chapman is coming here to preach in March, when I'll be in Louisiana. And every man I ask to come here, they act like they just can't wait to get here. Every one of them say, there's no place I'd rather preach than that. I know the feeling. Because there are other places for me like that. Like Lantana Grace Church or anywhere like that. But that's what he said. He said, I have no place I'd rather preach than there, John did. That's because your faith is everywhere spread abroad. It's known by everybody. Everybody. They know. They know what manner of entering in we had unto you. And they knew who I was, where I came from, and how I got here. Miracle. And you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. Every church is made up of people that were in false religion, that God had to take them out of that. Every grace church, true church, is made up of people who were idolaters like Abraham and turned from those idols to serve the God who is God and wait for His Son in heaven. What are we doing? What are y'all doing for the Lord? Well, we're waiting for the Lord. We come here to wait. Wait on Him. Oh my. Waiting is a hard thing to do, isn't it? Patient. But one point I wanted to bring out where he said that you became followers of us. That's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. I'm sure Paul never got over it. Timothy, Silas, Peter, James, John, all of them. That the Lord raised them up, used them to preach, not only preach, but lead people. I used to be a leader. My mother thought I was running with the wrong crowd, and she didn't realize I was the wrong crowd. They were running with me. And you became followers of us. Somebody says, you're not supposed to follow men. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. And I was going to show you several places. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, and 2 Thessalonians, he said, you became followers of us. 2 Corinthians 11, I believe it was, he said, follow me. Paul said, you follow me as I follow the Lord. As I follow the Lord. If somebody's following Christ, you can follow Him. If the Lord raised up an under-shepherd, if the Lord is your shepherd, then your preacher is your shepherd. And you can follow Him with confidence. Yeah, you can. You don't put all your confidence in Him, mind you, but you can be confident that God has sent you a faithful preacher, and you can follow Him. I got a letter from a young man not long ago who heard me preach a few times, and we had a conversation. And in the course of that conversation, and the letter, he was trying to straighten me out. And that all didn't bother me too much, considering the source. Just an ignorant young man, knew just enough Bible to make him a self-righteous Pharisee. Trying to straighten me out, and I didn't answer it. But then he said something to me, because in our conversation, I brought up my faithful pastor. And I had some commentaries that the Lord used him to write, which I love those commentaries. Love them. And they've been used greatly, mightily by God. And that young man said in that letter to me, he said, and I just brought up my pastor. I said, I'd like for you to have some of these. You'd greatly benefit. I said, the Lord used him to teach me the gospel. And he did. Paul one time said to Timothy, he said, don't be ashamed of the gospel or me. Didn't he? I'm ashamed of me. Well, anyway, that young man said in this letter, nothing bothered me till he said this. He said, you're just following a man. You're just preaching what a man taught you. And he said, that's being man-centered and not Christ-centered. And I'll just be honest with you, it made me really mad. Real mad. It offended me personally, number one, because I am not preaching a man-centered gospel. If there's anything I'm not doing, it's not that. You won't find my name anywhere. I got one thing to do, and that's what I do. By the grace of God, preach Christ. Do I do that? Please. Okay. But then it made me mad because he despised my pastor, my preacher. Well, it made me briefly mad. Then I started considering the source. And I thought, don't strive with a pot sherd. Don't get mad at a barking dog. Don't worry about it. He didn't know anything. He's just ignorant. So I started praying for him. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with him. But the point is, the Lord raised up men to preach, and I'm so thankful. I wouldn't have heard it. Wouldn't have heard the gospel. Faithful men, and they're following Christ. You can follow them. And this is proof. This is one of the proofs of election. Men like, down through the years, John Knox and Calvin. People hate John Calvin. They hate him. They hate the mention of his name. I love him. I'm not ashamed of John Calvin. I'm ashamed that I don't stand up more on his behalf. Huh? And on it goes. Names like that. We have some in our day, men that are hated. And you're hated. He said that. You received the word with much affliction and were persecuted. And you are. What for? Why does your family hate you? The truth, for Christ's sake. And he said, that's good proof that you're one of the elect. The world receives and loves its own. But if you're in God, you're in Christ, they're going to hate you like they did him. That's proof. And many more proofs that our Lord gives us. Thanks be unto God for His Word, for His Gospel, and for those who preach it. And for you. I thank God for you, all that you do for me and for His church and His people. All right. Brother John, if you'll come. Number 186. We couldn't sing a better hymn than this. 186. Let's all sing.